Welcome to the Speed Trap Podcast. I'm Betsy.
And I'm Sophie. Join us weekly to stay updated on the latest racing news.
And to hear our thoughts and opinions on each topic.
And today we're talking about the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix.
In Sector 1, we break down Mercedes' poor qualifying performance, Carlos Sainz's bad luck, and Red Bull's return to the top.
So before we get started on an interesting free practice and qualifying, I know you had some couple of things you just wanted to quickly remind us about upgrades and so forth.
Yeah, just some little tiny notes. Fernando was testing a new floor for Alpine, so he had a different setup than Esteban this weekend. So I think that made it was evident anyway in what happened in qualifying somewhat. Then Carlos took a new power unit based on what happened in Australia just for safety, had a new ICE, and I think a gearbox change. And I think Max also had a gearbox change, but I'm not 100% sure. I know another driver did, but I think it was Max. And then, yeah, going into FP1, it was a mess, right? Because of the rain. Love the rain.
I love the rain. You were right in your prediction.
I'm happy that we got it.
Surprisingly. I was like,
How dare you, surprisingly.
I mean, I didn't expect rain in Imola, but it was lovely, and I'm happy that it did rain.
Well, I was worried because I was like, is it going to rain today, and then we're going to have a dry race? But we were lucky in that it rained the entire weekend, basically. So
we got a dry sprint race, though.
That's true. That was the only dry part of it. Which did change stuff up for some drivers a bit, right? When the rain wasn't there, we saw a different performance out of certain people. Free practice one, everybody was basically off the track. We had Lando causing a red flag because he got beached, but it turns out he wasn't beached. Valtteri spun and tapped the wall with his nose, which basically ended FP1. But we had like everybody in the gravel or on the grass or something at some point. So that was eventful going into qualifying, traditional qualifying, I should say.
Nobody's driven in the rain for a while. So
I mean,
especially in the new cars, they've not done that yet.
Exactly, the new cars, we've never seen anybody in the rain. So this was the first time, and it was fun.
Fun for us. I don't know if it's fun for them.
Well, we looking at some drivers that might have been good in the rain. We know that Lando's good in the rain. Apart from when he refuses to change his tires.
Oh, poor little triggered man. I bet he's glad that we're never going back to Sochi.
Yeah, right?
Like, asterisk
can
on never.
Completely compartmentalize it.
Exactly.
From his life. So, Lando, we know George is good in the rain. Max is always typically good in the rain. Lewis is typically good in the rain. Mm-hmm. Who else? Fernando's pretty good in the rain.
Fernando's pretty good at everything.
Yeah, that's true. He's a sleeper hit, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really, people are like, yeah, I mean, Max and Lewis, but then Fernando's out here, like, killing the game all the time.
Yeah.
He's been so
just
unlucky.
Silently,
though.
Just
silently. Yeah. Silently killing it. Carlos is usually pretty good in the rain as well because of his rallying experience.
Carlos is another silent killer. Yeah.
He is the Spanish silent killers, aren't they? The duo.
They are.
They didn't really have a lot of luck this weekend, I'll say. But let's talk about Q1, it was immediate, like, some people were choosing inters and some were on slicks, and it was like, who's going to be right about that? Turns out inter people probably were the best choice for that. But Alex had a nightmare again in qualifying with his tires because one of them exploded. Well, it's because his brakes were on fire, right? And it, like, I guess it exploded from heat and pressure, maybe.
Well, it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. But his, like, rear right tire exploded, and then he just was out of qualifying immediately. And it was, like, not again. Not after his disqualification in Australia.
I know. I mean, it worked out really well for him, though, because we did have the sprint race the following day.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, after Australia, when he's known as, like, the tire king, that one of his tires explodes in the next race weekend. A little bit ironic. But poor Alex. Yeah. So Williams already...
That man has no luck at all.
No, at all. Like, Williams already off to a bad start. And then
I'm excited for Williams' hole, though.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's like, off topic. But, like, as just a team in general and, like, their future, I feel hopeful.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because there was the rumor, right? Do we want to talk about this now that we're talking about Williams?
Sure. Why not?
There's this paddock rumor going around that Mr. Oscar Piastri, Formula 2 champion, will be headed to Williams next season. Don't know who he'd be replacing.
Gotta be Latifi, right?
But we would imagine it would be Latifi based on the expenses he causes the team.
Well, this is my thing. I think maybe we said this last time, is that the amount of money that Latifi costs the team is probably the same or more that his father pays the team.
Potentially, right? Potentially.
To be fair, I don't know how much his father pays the team.
Well, millions, right? But I mean...
But it's also millions to redo a car every week.
That's true. It's just... At this point, it's like, now that we see him against another driver, apart from George, who's been his teammate this whole time he's been in the sport, and it was like, well, we can't really compare him to George because George is, like, on the next level. He's doing all this, like, magic to pull the car up from the back of the grid every week, and he's outqualified Latifi. Like, I think it was like every race apart from one weekend, I think he outqualified Latifi, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, maybe George is just next level. But then at the same time, it's like, if you're getting destroyed by your teammate every week, there's like the expectation of, you need to perform, like, you need to match that. Like, that's the same what they do in Red Bull, right? They're like, Max was beating all of his teammates a lot, and it was like, well, as soon as they're not performing on his level, it's like, get rid of them. But Williams have given Latifi chance after chance, right? And he still isn't providing them anything, even with a new teammate in Alex, who we always expected was going to be good and probably better than Nicholas Latifi anyway. And he is, so far anyway. And still, Latifi is, like, crashing and sliding and not getting to grips with the car, and maybe it's just bad timing and bad luck for him that the new tech rigs came in, and as soon as he was getting used to the old car, the new one came in. But Alex came in after sitting a year out, jumped in a new tech rig car, and...
But, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, we also know how much time Alex spent developing...
That's true.
...cars in between. So I would say, like, it's not... like a case where he was like no association with the car, or like out of the sport completely.
Yeah.
For a year.
Maybe, you know, Alex, I mean, deliberately like developed the Red Bull engine to be unreliable so that...
And then he was like,
Yeah.
I gotta go now.
I mean, I doubt they have... when the drivers develop the car, I doubt they have anything to do with the engine. It's probably more to do with like the chassis.
Setup and aero, yeah.
Yeah, but... Still, rumor. But yeah, anyway, that was the rumor. Oscar might be headed to Williams, which I would love to see that. I think it would be very cool to see Williams.
I'd be happy to see that.
Williams take on Oscar.
For sure.
Yeah, take on another F2 champ, because last time they did that, it worked out very well for them.
Quite well.
And Oscar has a similar path to F1, I guess, that George had, right? Where he won like every championship he ever competed in. Back to back to back, he was a rookie. F3 he won, and then he went straight to F2, was a rookie and won, etc. So
yeah,
similar George? To George.
George? Charles?
Charles, another example. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, Latifi was the runner up in his F2 season, but he had been in F2 for a little bit before he was the runner up.
Yeah.
But he lost to Nyck de Vries, who was also in F2 for a little while before he won, but he did win eventually. So there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of Latifi, he did cause a yellow flag right after Alex's tire exploded, because he like stopped on the track after he slid about a little bit, which we expect from him every weekend or so. Nothing unusual. But Q1 was interesting because it felt like we were going to lose the Mercedes in Q1, didn't we?
It really did. Very much so. Like, I was, like, half asleep, of course.
Of course.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I had COVID.
Yep. You have an excuse.
I have an excuse. I was exhausted. I was not super coherent. And I was like, I don't have time for this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't sit here, mm-hmm. nay, lay here and watch Mercedes go out in Q1. This is an abomination.
Yeah.
Like, how do they not have their stuff together that much that, like, they're literally not even Mercedes anymore?
Mercedes. It was like, the thought
they're
process.
Like back of the grid.
The thought process also, for me was like, this is where we're supposed to bring an upgrade. So what happened?
What happened? Also, I have some words to throw at Ross Brawn in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I was worried because we did see Lewis go out in Q1 in, was it Saudi? Yeah. Where he qualified 16th, right? And then Lewis, like, just made it by the skin of his teeth. He was P15. And it was Yuki.
For a second, he was P17, and I didn't realize that he was on another lap, and I was like...
Yeah. And okay. Yuki just missed out by, like, 4/1000ths of a second. So Lewis was very close to missing out on Q2. Yeah. So it was almost a repeat of Saudi, where George got through and Lewis didn't.
I think that's another problem, though, that's, like, we can talk about this more in the race, too, because I think it might even show itself more.
Sure.
In the race.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to talk about the George Lewis.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that.
Let's compare them.
Let's compare them. But so far, qualifying has been George's hotspot out of the two of them, I think.
I mean, that has been George's thing for a while.
For sure.
Mr. Saturday.
But Lewis was always crazy good at pulling a lap out of his arse when he needed to, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But just with this car, it's just not there for him. So we'll see. But was it Turkey? Yes, it was Turkey where Mercedes just did not qualify well at all in 2020, right? Or 2021. Those years blend together for me for some reason.
So much. I think it was 2021 because 2020 Mercedes had DAS and owned that sport.
But I think it was where Lewis, that's how Ferrari ended up on the podium in 2020, was that Mercedes had a terrible qualifying and then Lewis just managed to make his way through to the front. And Valtteri didn't. Right?
You could be right.
I think it's that.
And that's
when he won his world championship. Right, I think it was that race, 2020 Turkey, where they qualified so poorly, and that was like such a shocking moment. Like, what happened to Mercedes? And now it feels
that
like...
That sounds right, actually.
And now it's like, that's every week for them, so... What happened then that is repeating now? Like, what can they learn from Turkey 2020 to fix what they're doing with this year's car?
What can they learn from these first four races to get it together?
I mean, we've got a week till Miami, so they still have another week to figure that out.
I don't know if they will recover.
Well, Lewis already said we're definitely out of the championship. Totos disagrees, but Lewis said, yeah, there's no way. Which is kind of leaning that way for me as well.
I mean, I don't want to say that, but I think it's true. I mean, it's tough to say, like, we still have, what, 18 races to go? Is that how many we have left?
Something like that, yeah.
Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a full season, that, 18 races.
Yeah. But I mean, now you have literally 18 races to go and have had no progress at all. You've actually gotten worse since you started.
Well.
For the first...
Potentially,
In the first four races. Yeah, potentially. But I think it's just a really big problem for them, and I don't know what to do. And I think...
They're stressed.
I'm stressed for them. And at what point does it become... Like...
A strain on the team and the dynamic and...
Well, that, but also, like, at what point do they just
accept
give up?
Yeah,
like, accept it. Like, you don't want to say, like, give up.
Well, I don't think they will.
At the same time, it's like, what is so wrong with your car that you have not been able to fix it? Like, is it actually, like, that much?
Is it really? I think it might be the side pods.
Something you cannot overcome.
It seems that way.
And you're just like,
Well, let's be fair. Like, they spend, like, a whole year developing the car. And
they didn't fit this up?
Well, sorry. I was going to say it takes them that long to get their concept. So, I mean, 4 weeks, 5 weeks isn't necessarily, like, a long amount of time in trying to fix an issue that they've spent a year trying to create, you know? So,
I mean, yeah.
It could be the middle of the season before we see them with pace again. And obviously that's too late, but I don't think they're going to give up until they do. There's no way that's not their attitude. That,
like, they'll give up. Like, I don't think any team is going to... Well, Haas gave up for 2 years.
But look how it worked out for them, though.
Yeah, no, it did. I mean, I think that's the thing is it's, like, really difficult to see a team that has won 8 World Constructors Championships consecutively be, like, not our year.
But it reminds me of Red Bull when they went from Seb's dominance 4 years in a row to having such terrible reliability issues that Daniel beat Seb in the same car after Seb had just dominated the world championship back to back. So, and that's when Mercedes' dominance kicked in. So maybe we're experiencing a reversal of the roles, you know, except maybe now it's with Ferrari instead.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, and none of this is to say, like, I'm super happy for Ferrari. Like, I just think it's just
odd. It's just, you can't, like, comprehend how Mercedes were so good and then all of a sudden so bad. And that's
like, I didn't realize, and I don't understand the cars in the way that engineers, aerospace engineers, will at all. And I don't expect to.
I expect you to.
Shoot. No, what do I do?
You're fired.
I quit. No, I don't, you know, begin to have that knowledge. But what is so completely crazy different that, like, they're so completely out of touch?
Well, the thing we keep hearing from George is that they know what's wrong with their car. And that's a good thing, that they know what's wrong.
Fix it.
They're trying. We've got to be patient, I think. Which
I'm impatient.
Doesn't help when the sport is, like, Formula One exists, but, you know. So let's keep talking quickly because we still have to talk about the sprint race as well. So,
sorry, yeah.
Rain came in Q2, and that's when chaos sort of really began. Carlos went in the wall, which was terrible. But he made a fast enough banker lap that he managed to get into Q3 still. But he then didn't compete
automatically.
In
Q3. Yeah.
So he was P10. But Carlos.
Could have been worse.
Carlos, what are you doing? Unfair.
Well, speaking of Carlos, he got a contract extension.
Yes.
So despite his really terrible performance.
I was so worried about that because I saw so many, like, rumors online that were like, Ferrari now hesitant with Carlos after the beginning of this season. And I was like, but he won out of the two drivers last season, so there's no way they're taking 4 races is, like, his performance ability. So thank God when that news came out, I was like, oh, good, because I love Carlos.
It just kind of, like, I do too. Like, it kind of reaffirmed for me my vision of what Ferrari should be.
Yes.
My 5-year plan for them.
No, yeah, because with how they treated Seb towards the end, after all of his loyalty and stuff, and his performance being relatively good for the majority of his time there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, is this going to be a repeat, and is Carlos going to get dropped because of some bad races after he performed really well? But thank God. So maybe they've had a change of tune about how they treat their drivers. So
And
we thought it would add confidence to Carlos this weekend, but it didn't. Really. Maybe it's the pressure of performing in front of the Tifosi, maybe.
Oh, it could have been.
I don't know. But his lap was fast enough for P2 in Q2 before he crashed out. So his speed was there to potentially compete for pole position, did he not crash. So, sorry, Seb. And it got too wet that they just, like, a lot of drivers just ended up not going back out and they waited.
Yeah.
But Q3... it stopped raining a little bit, and then we had Kevin in the wall, but he got back out eventually because there was a red flag. And then Daniel and Lando, but mostly Lando, were looking very competitive. which was nice to see.
Well, just a good day for McLaren, I think.
Very much so, and I'm glad.
They seem to like Italy.
Whatever, yeah, they do, right? But whatever they've done, they need to tell Mercedes, because they've fixed their issue really quickly from
even Williams, their first two races. I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's not as easy to tell with Williams, just because mm-hmm. it's still Williams right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they were getting, like, squashed by other teams for the first couple races, and now it seems like they're able to, like, and get together.
Staying on trend with what we're talking about, Aston Martin mm-hmm. also seemed yeah. to have improved. So every Mercedes-powered team, except for Mercedes, have managed to improve something to help them gain position. So, I don't know, maybe they need a group chat or something to discuss. but when McLaren is out-competing its factory team, like, you know, something's... They're not going to tell Mercedes what the deal is, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think we were all expecting to move on Charles to end up on pole position, because he was looking to be the favorite here, at least so far. But then we ended up with a sneaky Max Verstappen pole position.
Which I think... Actually, I don't know if that...
What?
I was going to say, I think that came down to just rain driving.
The restart, when he took track position at the restart, you think?
Sorry, my brain. Oh, God.
So, you know when there was the red flag when Lando was in the wall?
Yes.
And then there was
this is what I'm saying.
There was the restart, and then Max was first out of the pits, so he got track position.
And he had fresher tires, so.
Right. And I mean, everybody sort of went around again, but Lando sort of set the precedent for what was going to happen after he crashed, because not a lot of people improved their time. But Max did, right. So he ended up on pole. Right. And then Lando stayed P3, which, good for him for saving that spot for himself. Good for him for qualifying so high after their start to the season as well, and being in second row for the sprint race. So very proud of him. I always feel like I'm patronizing him when I say that, but I just am, because
yeah,
we've been following him since he was in like junior series, so it feels like we're like watching him.
A little baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, Moira Rose there. A baby. Anyway, let's talk about the sprint race.
Let's do it.
Running.
So we had
on time.
Kevin Magnussen, Kevin Magnussen started on the second row for the sprint race.
Yeah.
Which was sick. Oh, quickly notes about FP2 though, because there was a practice between quali and sprint race, which is still weird to me that that happens. Daniel had no running because he had an engine issue. Lando only got 6 laps of running. Valtteri had no running because they basically had to rebuild his entire chassis because it got deformed or something from heat, or I don't know. But it was weird because George topped FP2, so everyone was like, whoa, and Lewis was like P4, so everyone was like, oh my god, Mercedes, are they going to come back in the sprint race? Which we were like, after Brazil, Lewis has showed example of being able to do that.
What is wrong with them? Like, they're so irregular, because it's like, yeah, they're doing well here, and then they get in a race, they get an actual quali, and it's like, ugh.
Well, George said it's because they were running a different program to everybody else, so maybe everybody else was running race setup. And they were running quali setup.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with free practice. You don't know what they're actually doing.
Yeah. And then Ted, right before sprint quali, Ted Kravitz, legend, running the game, said that he was explaining the porpoising and why it was the worst for Mercedes. And he was like, it's because they don't have side pods, or they have next to no side pods, because more of their floor is exposed. And so it's not as supported as, say, Ferrari, who we know is the wide boy of the car. The car family, they're the wide boys, so more of their floor is supported by the body of their car, so it's not getting as sucked down to the floor as Mercedes is, so there's less bouncing because of that. And so maybe Mercedes' real issue is their side pods, and that they can't really change that because it's not in the regulations to be able to do that. I believe they're not allowed to change like their whole design, really. So maybe they'll just have to sit with what they have and then bring side pods 2023.
I guess so.
But yeah, sprint quali, go say what you're going to say, because I interrupted you and you had a point clearly that you were going to bring up.
Oh, yeah. Crofty and I think it was Martin were talking about this.
this weekend?
Martin
wasn't here. Was it okay, Paul?
Who was there?
Paul? Nico?
Nico, I think.
I love Nico.
I don't think it was Paul.
Natalie?
Naomi. Anyways, somebody was saying...
Anthony Davidson? Because he was there.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just too many voices that just become voices after a while. You'll remember in tracks like Sochi, for example, sometimes it's better to start in P2
right.
comparatively to
P1. Right.
P1.
Right.
And they were saying that this can be observed as one of those tracks. Uh-oh. In this case, it did not work out, but... Well, can be because of
initially,
the way that
it did for Charles, right?
Yeah,
in the sprint race, because he took the lead off the lane and led the whole sprint race until the end.
Exactly. Which maybe it's a dry weather specific rule.
That could be. Well, yeah, right. It would make sense because
of the rubber.
Because, the racing lane would be dry and the racing lane would be on the P1 side of the circuit. So, yeah.
No, the P2 side of the circuit.
Yeah, because that would be the dirty side, right? So there would be nobody really going over that side of the circuit unless they're overtaking, exactly. Which people weren't really doing because it was wet and it was extra dangerous to do that. But yeah, I think you're right. Dry only rule for P2.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Which I think actually worked. You're right. So in the sprint race, worked excellently because Charles was just, boom, right in the lead. Early on, quickly,
the other thing
and
too,
ran away.
Max had really bad wheel spin, so it affected his gear sync because there's a mechanism in the car that slows down the gear syncing when you have wheel spin is to not mess up the internals or something along those lines. I'm not an engineer either. So Max had a poor start as well because of the gear sync. And you heard him on the radio right after the start and he went, nice gear sync that, being really cheeky and bitter about it. But... it worked out for him in the end, so I'm sure he forgot all about it when he finished in P1 in the sprint race. But yeah, Charles had a great start. Sergio had a great start. Fernando got swallowed down, so he lost position from P5, which was sad because I was expecting good things out of him this weekend.
It was also a really bad start for both Mercedes.
Oh my god, horrible
for both of them.
Yeah. Just completely, where did they go?
It's like they just decided to like stand still on the grid and then they were like, okay, let's go. Like,
yeah.
It was just like visible.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
The time's too slow for them and everybody else kept going. Oh, yep. God. Yeah. And then there was a safety car because Guan Yu went into the wall in lap one. Which was sad times because we love Guan Yu. Because he made contact with somebody or did he just spin? I can't remember.
He made contact with
Kevin?
Pierre?
Oh, Pierre. Yeah. Because he had to pit because he damaged his front wing, right?
Yeah.
So there you go with Pierre. Pierre is just not his weekend this weekend. But.
No.
Not AlphaTauri at all. Actually, maybe Yuki. Yuki did a good race on Sunday, but everything else, just not. Because they were both out in Q1 on Friday as well.
He didn't. He would not have made contact with Kevin. Kevin is up in P4.
That's
at this
right.
Point.
Yes. I think I'm just used to Kevin making contact with people back in his old days at Haas.
True. People, he's really matured.
Or people making contact with him and then him getting the blame for it. So
that's also true.
You know. So. I think of Silverstone. I think it was Charles. Was it Charles? And him made contact really badly. And it DNF'd Kevin. And Kevin had like 10 DNFs that season because of continuous people.
You're right.
Yeah. 2019 or something. Yeah.
Poor Kevin.
But yeah, speaking of, Daniel did a sick overtake on Kevin for P5 in the sprint race. That was nice. So shout out to Daniel for becoming his old self briefly.
Yeah.
That sounds so rude. I'm sure Daniel's still a great overtaker, but it's just he hasn't been shown it recently. I mean,
gotta lay it out there.
Last of the late breakers is what his nickname was. Like, what is happening to him? Maybe it's just because he's definitely not comfortable in the car he's driving yet, and that will affect it.
I mean, I know that he said that car is not really made for his driving style. So if you're the last of the late breakers and
You don't have the confidence. Yeah.
Can't do that in, then it's kind of like
unfortunate. It's like, sorry. You're gonna have to be an early breaker now.
Awkward.
Also in the wet, it's hard to judge your breaking points. Especially when the track's consistently evolving, when it's getting drier with the racing line. It's like you can break later and later and later throughout. But yeah. Didn't really help for the sprint race. Carlos was overtaken like a madman, thank God. Managed to get up to P4, which was great.
Yeah.
Having him on the second row. So very happy that he managed to at least pull that performance this weekend after what happened on Sunday and in qualifying. So very happy for him to have at least demonstrated that he is a capable driver in Italy.
And he got some points, which was nice.
That was so... I was like, thank God that up to P8 gets points now, because Carlos needed that. So very happy that he managed to achieve that. What else happened? Max took the lead eventually, but...
Very at the end.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Very. It was like the last lap, right? Or the lap last prior to the laps. Last lap. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it was like,
Yeah. But what was nice was that McLaren McLaren had P5, P6. So it felt like Monza, where they had a really great sprint race and it was setting them up for something magical on the Sunday. Which. Do you want to talk about that now?
The Sunday?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Let's do it.
In Sector 2, we discuss a rough and rainy race for Ferrari, analyze the performances between Hamilton and Russell, and congratulate McLaren on another successful Italian podium.
Okay, so moving on from the sprint into the race. I still want to call the sprint race a sprint race when it's sprint qualifying, so whatever. But the real race on the Sunday, the full length, we had rain! It stayed wet, baby! So that was a lovely thing for us. Maybe not for the teams, but for us, because it could throw a lot of strategy out of the window. I am sure that teams were planning for wet anyway, considering the whole weekend. So
yeah,
it probably wasn't too much of a mess around for them. And now that we have free choice for everybody at every race, I mean... Who knows?
Yeah.
People can change last minute, I guess, if they want to. But, yeah, rain. And then on the way to the grid, Lewis was like, my engine isn't running properly. And I was like, oh my God, not this. Not even more from Mercedes. But, yeah, it turned out it's just like a recharge mode thing, suspected from the commentators, because his team were like, it's only happening on lap to the grid conditions for your car, because you're in full recharge mode and not, there's no... power being deployed, only harvested, so that's why it's getting all weird for you. So don't worry, Lewis. And then Guan Yu had
we were all worried.
And then Guan Yu had a pit lane start because obviously he crashed it in the sprint race. So
yeah,
start from the pit lane, which I didn't even notice, by the way, until it was said later on. I was like, did he? I know, start they didn't really
inform us, but
yeah, I guess it was expected though after he crashed in the sprint race. But yeah, so race start. What an eventful race start, because we had Max keep the lead, which after sprint qualifying, like you said, it seemed like only in a dry race was the dirty side of the grid a good opportunity, and in a wet race it doesn't seem to be. So
no.
Because Max already had the benefit, I guess, of cars driving on the race line on the lap to the grid, right? Creating a somewhat dry line. Not completely, but that. But then Charles just had an issue. Sergio passed him. Lando passed him. Like, what happened to Charles? Like, my guy, what happened? Where were you? Where were you? Somewhere. Way back where you should not have been. So immediately we had a Red Bull 1-2, which was, for us, we were like, God, because obviously having... two different teams at the front competing for P1 is more entertaining than having teammates, because especially when it's Red Bull, right? Because it would be like don't fight with Max, maybe.
Yeah, protect him.
Probably. So, but Sergio is like the ultimate defender too, as we've learned. So, and a tire whisperer. So immediately it was like, oh, Charles has no chance. And then because he was behind Lando too, Lando's such a slow car compared to the Ferraris and the Red Bulls that, not because of Lando, because of McLaren, unfortunately, but that would have caused them to be able to get away in front of him, and Charles would therefore be stuck and have to catch up further afield than he would have if he was in front of Lando. So that was an issue. But then, speaking of McLaren and Ferrari, what a disaster. What a disaster for Carlos Sainz this weekend. My God.
This is the moment pictured behind me.
Yeah.
You're seeing this.
Just like their cars kissed each other, and then Daniel left Carlos like a jilted lover in the gravel to cry and continued on with his life without him. It was
Well, it was sad.
Especially after Australia for Carlos, right? Exactly the same thing happened to him. Beached in the gravel. Beached.
Just moment of silence. Yeah. I mean, I think it was just so disappointing. Because at first I was like, oh, he can get out of that. But he just slid nicely in there. Did work. Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Daniel probably opening, felt horrible.
Opening lap like that is just...
It was so just spirit-crushing, soul-crushing have Carlos gone immediately when I was hoping for, like, a Carlos overtake extravaganza this race. But we didn't get it.
I hope so, too.
We didn't get it. Because Carlos also had, like, quite a bad start. The Ferraris had a poor start because Carlos was P4 and then he already had Daniel like whacking him out of the way. Valtteri was also involved in that incident a little bit. Tapped Daniel after Daniel hit Carlos, which we were confused about because Daniel, when he hit Carlos, said someone pushed him, but it turned out nobody did. And then he corrected himself later after the race and said he thinks he lost it on the curb. Which it seemed like he did. And then there was like a puncture. Like, Valtteri's nose might have punctured Daniel's rear tire because Daniel immediately came in for a pit stop. So, calamity.
I think it also is possible that like the gravel just that messed too. With his tire too. That too. Was... So, either way, Daniel had to pit on came lap out last two or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out last. And
that also
recovered from that.
Yeah, and it also affected other cars, right? Because we saw Mick go off to avoid cars going wide to avoid Daniel and Carlos. So he lost out in the gravel. And also hit Fernando, which I didn't see in the initial coverage. But I
didn't either.
But I was rewatching, or not rewatching, I was had Channel 4 coverage on later in the day, just as background, to see if they had any different notes or anything that I could pick up on. And they noted that it was Mick, during that moment, tapped Fernando's engine cover, and that's why later on, after the safety car restart, we saw Fernando have a huge hole in the side of his car.
Massive hole on the side. I was like, what? Like, I had never seen that before.
No, I was like, some engineers getting fired after that because, or some mechanics getting fired because the screw was not in properly, clearly.
No.
But, and it's also, it was kind of funny because the CEO of Alpine was in the garage that weekend. So I was like, what a weekend to mess up, guys. But it was not their fault. It was Mick hitting Fernando, which in the end sort of ruined Fernando's race.
Well, yeah.
Because he had a DNF.
Yeah, they're tired.
But he was dropping back a bit before we saw the hole in the side of his car. So we were like, what? Not another repeat of Australia with the tires. Like, what happened to you, Fernando? But that's why.
So, he had a gaping hole in this.
Gaping hole in the side of his car. You could see all the details of his power unit. It's great.
They were like, no.
Seb was driving past some rubbernecking to get all the details to bring back to Aston Martin. which, speaking of Seb, him and Lance both had pretty good races, right? I mean, off the start, they both gained 4 positions. Seb was already in the top 10 at the start, managed to stay in the top 10 during the sprint race, which he was a quiet killer this weekend, I think. being where he was in that car, because we don't expect anything out of that car, to be honest, because they've been pretty much at the back since the start. So
no, and this was the first time that both Aston Martins got points and were both in the points. So
yes,
came home. Seb was P8 and Lance was P10. So
yeah, so I'm hoping that
no hate on that. I think
they're probably praying for a lot of wet races in the future, because it seems like when it rains is great for them, unlike their ancestors' racing point where it did not help them when it rained. They figured that out. Maybe what they did was they built a car for the rain rather than building a car for the dry, you know,
which is so smart because it rains all the time.
They were trying to fix their poor rain performance in the pink Mercedes. So they were like, we need to fix the rain performance. And then it ended up that they skewed their whole car design for rain driving, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Good theory, right?
Excellent theory.
Totally logical.
Absolutely.
No, but yeah, silent killers this weekend, I think. So good for them. Another person who did quite a good job at overtaking, I think you'll like to talk about, George Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of silent-y this weekend, too.
Yeah.
I think this happens a lot, though, too, right now. Everyone's, like, eyes on Lewis. Like, he's going to be the one who does things.
Right.
And Lewis is just unable to right now. But George is like, pay attention to me. Look at me.
I think this is where we should talk about the Lewis v. George thing that you brought up earlier, right? Because George seemed to find the ability to overtake much better than Lewis did this weekend. But to be fair to Lewis, he did get stuck behind the DRS train, essentially. Even though there was no DRS, I'm still calling it a DRS train. There was no DRS until like lap 34 or something, which was another thing that was notable,
should
right?
Have been. But
he got stuck behind Pierre, and then the pit lane incident lost him a lot of time because he got hit by Esteban in the pit lane, and then Seb went out.
He already had a 4-second pit stop. Like,
yeah,
there was a lot going on,
not in his favor, and so we didn't really get to see Lewis at full pace this weekend, where George did end up in full pace because he managed to gain an appropriate position to basically be isolated on track the whole race. Like, there was nobody really fighting him, and he wasn't really fighting anybody once he got up to where he was, so...
Right.
Apart from towards the end, when Valtteri briefly was, like, going for him, which I was excited to see, because I was like, not this again.
And Amoa, I bet they were both just, like...
Flashbacks. Toto was triggered. Like, oh, God, Valtteri's getting revenge. No.
Yeah.
But, George had a very good P4 finish out of his car.
Redemption. A little bit of redemption. Which was really nice to see.
But just made Lewis look terrible, even though Lewis is not terrible. We know Lewis is not terrible, obviously.
Does it make you wonder, though, and I hate this about myself, that I even question in my mind comes through and is like, is Lewis really that good?
Oh my God.
Do you ever think that? Because... have we seen Lewis have a really bad car? Like, not really.
McLaren, 2009.
Okay. 2009 McLaren, but that was...
2013 Mercedes, also not great.
Okay, but not great is different than bad. But, like, that's my thing, is I'm,
this
like,
car
also...
isn't horrible.
It's pretty bad.
It's, like, midfield.
Okay, fine. Midfield, whatever. But I think my... point there too is that he's not even
out of practice.
Close, maybe.
Yeah.
So like he's had an amazing car for let's just say 10 years ish, give or take.
But like whenever that like intrusive thought sneaks into my head, I'm like, but every time he's been in the middle of the pack in a race, he's managed to get back up to the front.
Because he's had a great car.
But even 2020. The Mercedes struggled to perform in the midfield, right? Because it would overheat.
Right.
Because being behind a car, it was not used to being behind other cars. So that was the issue. They were just so used to being in front of everybody. They did not build the car to be in the race. They built it to lead the race.
Exactly.
But this year, it's really just the porpoising that's really messing them up, I think. Like, really badly.
Yeah, but I mean, I just hate that thought crosses my head, but I also feel like I would be a bad
person.
No, analyzer of the sport. If it
if you didn't think about it.
Think about that.
Well,
I feel like I would be.
I mean, yeah,
doing a disservice to my job, so to speak.
You're playing devil's advocate in a way.
I'm trying to be fair.
You're trying to be objective. Yeah.
Try to be objective because I don't want to sit here and be like, oh my god, Lewis is the best, blah, 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 while he sits in P14. Like, it's not realistic.
Right. But I mean, I don't think we can discount him this quickly. I mean, he clearly was in a bad state of mind this weekend. After qualifying, we saw like a small what looked like a dispute between him and Toto after Q2. But Lewis came out and said it was just internal stuff that he didn't need to talk about it. And then Toto said, we were angry at the same thing, so that we weren't arguing with each other. So, I don't know. But Nico Rosberg, who likes to be, you know, gossip queen galore, was like, it's probably because Lewis was trying to blame somebody at the team, and Toto was like, we don't play the blame game. That's not our culture here at Mercedes. But I don't know if Lewis would be like that. But
I feel like Nico is like,
he's jaded from their relationship.
Like, we know what happened with you and Lewis. Like, I don't need you to make up commentary between them. Yeah. Like, it's okay.
I usually like what Nico has to say, but sometimes I'm like, do you mean that? Especially when it's about Lewis. I mean,
it's funny to listen to, but you have to take it with a grain of salt because he's narrating a conversation. You don't know what's happening.
Exactly. Exactly. Speculation. But objection. Speculation. Like,
exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. In a court of law, that would not fly.
No. None of this would. But yeah, I think that's something that I'm like very fearful of because I badly want him to reaffirm my opinion that he is one of the GOATs.
I mean, he's already been on the podium in this season.
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean. I think everybody has intrusive thoughts like that. Like, especially, for example, with Seb, right? People had intrusive thoughts and then were like immediately vocal about them. They were like, he's not good anymore. But
that's what I said.
And I always stuck by him. I was like, he's a four-time world champion, guys. Come on. Like, it's the same thing for Lewis. Same with Lewis. He's a seven-time world champion. He's not just going to be bad in the midfield, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a struggle, I think. It's a struggle.
But I mean,
but I need him to prove me wrong and make sure that I never think things like again.
I think this is just a small hurdle at the beginning of the season. As soon as they bring a good upgrade, back on it.
I like really hate that rhetoric of like, oh, it's just a car. And yeah, like low key, that's what I'm saying right now. But I'm like,
no, I know.
How can I sit there and like fully defend that if it's not honestly that true? When you see George pulling things out of nothing like this, it ends up in like P4.
George
podium.
I think George benefited from the Carlos Daniel thing when people were avoiding. Lewis
wholeheartedly, yes.
Lewis didn't as much. And then the safety car restart, George managed to take P5 because George got up to P6 at the start and then took P5 from Kevin at the safety car restart. So the safety car helped him out. Lewis,
which was a really nice overtake, I have to say.
It was, yeah. It was.
Really nice.
And then Lewis didn't get as lucky and ended up stuck behind people at the back of like the train.
I think that's what's disappointing too, which is like hard to watch, is because like Lewis has always had some bad luck, like every now and then, right?
Yeah, this year just though has.
But especially bad, but like before, like Lewis like never had to, like he had bad luck, he was like, nah, making my own luck, here we go.
Yep.
But like he just doesn't have the tools, I feel like, this year to do that. It sucks.
Like, he's had a lot of bad luck with safety cars, especially this season. So far anyway.
Max doesn't know how to do safety cars anymore. Restarts. He's just like, what do I do?
Well, he was fine when he was leading at this safety car restart, but yeah, I don't know about if he's being leading, P2 again. Yeah.
If he's P2, it's like,
what do I
am
do?
I supposed to? I drive behind him.
My front wing can't be in front of his rear wing, huh? No.
How do I drive behind a car? I don't understand. Sorry, I'm being like super sassy, but like
you are.
That rule, I think.
I thought you were trying to be objective this week, huh?
Sorry. only in some cases.
So not objective at all.
Yeah. My chosen ingenuity. But I think that rule has been something that I have wanted for so long, mm-hmm. and they finally did that, and now it happened, and I'm excited, and well, I get to be a little we'll evil see. Chuckle. I was right about the situation.
We'll see, though, because potentially there's going to be a lot more safety cars this season, so I can imagine that you'll have to attempt again to overtake for the lead under a safety car.
And we have seen. I mean, he'll figure it out, but it's funny. Objectively, it's funny.
Do you remember Brazil 2020, where him and Alex
in Brazil in 2020?
2019? No, when was Alex at Red Bull?
2019.
Was it?
And 2020.
Right. So whenever they were in Brazil, it was like end of 2019, right? Yeah. End of 2019. Because Brazil was... Yeah. So they were in Brazil and it was a safety car. And then Max and Alex did this insanely sick double overtake under the safety car. Do you remember that?
Wait, what? Under the safety car?
Well, when it was ending, the restart.
Oh, ending.
Yeah.
I thought you said... under, and I was did like, say that's not
I think I did
that's
say
not
under,
legal
but you know what I meant, you know what I meant. Not under the safety car when it was ending, right at the Senna S's, I think it was. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, well, that's one example of a good safety car restart for Max I can think of where I don't think he was doing his trick that he normally does, so maybe you
2019
can go and rewatch that.
It's a little bit too far back for me to remember.
I feel like I'm playing, like, I'm Max's defender in this podcast, and I don't like it. Because I'm trying to be objective as I can. I'm not a Max fan, but I'm not going to sit here and say he's a bad racer. And I do like to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I know you're not saying he's a bad racer, but I know, I agree with, I don't like his game that he plays under the safety car either. But I'm just trying to think of other examples so we don't seem like we're, like, bullying Max every week.
No. Max is like totally, obviously Max is going to be great at doing safety car restarts. I think it's just funny.
No, it's like, funny. It is funny.
It's slightly humorous that's one of those things that he's just loved to do, is just be kind of like a
dick.
It's
like a
about
signature
that.
Move of him, yeah.
And now that they're like, no, you cannot do that anymore. And he's kind of
like why?
Struggled since that. So, I mean, I'm just like,
but also it could be just the new cars that he's struggling
with. Oh, absolutely could be. I'm just embellishing on this situation of...
Good word choice.
Oh, yes, thank you. I liked it too. It was a good word.
Oh, dear. But yeah, anyway.
I mean, I'm just like Nico Rosberg in this situation.
There you go.
I'm just add a little bit.
I want to see...
A little bit of flavor to
I want
to
see like Danny Kvyat come back and give commentary on Max like Nico gives on Lewis. Even though they were never teammates, because Max replaced him at Red Bull.
Maybe Perez. Perez is like
Sergio's
too sweet,
so
though.
Nice.
Like, he would be. Oh my god, I want Sergio as a commentator though.
He'd be
so sweet.
I think he'd sound so confused all the time, even though he'd know exactly what was happening.
That's kind of true.
But I love Sergio. He'd be great.
I do too.
Oh, he's so nice.
He's such a nice guy.
I'm so glad he's getting more media exposure, because before he was sort of just like the silent background character, and now he's like front and center. We're getting to see how sweet he is.
I'm really glad that I've worked through my issues with Sergio.
What were your issues with Sergio? That he replaced Alex?
No, that he purposely ran into Esteban in 2018.
Oh,
I didn't like that.
When did that happen? What race was that?
Singapore. I didn't like that.
I feel like every driver has a moment like that, though.
Yeah, I think every driver does. But I didn't like it, and I like lost respect for him.
Yeah. I mean, now Esteban and him are like buddies, so...
Yeah, I mean, no hard feelings.
War under the bridge.
Literally.
Yeah. Oh,
but hey, it took me a minute. It took me a second.
You were like that with Seb, too.
Yeah.
You were like, he brake-checked Lewis.
He did.
Lewis brake checked him, and so Seb like drove into the side of him or something. Okay. When was that? Was that like
Silverstone 2018?
Was it Silverstone? I feel like it was a street circuit.
Germany? I don't know.
Or I feel like it was like an Asian circuit. I can't remember.
Could have been. But I remember what you're talking about, yeah.
I think it was a night race.
I didn't
race.
Like that either. No, I think it was day.
Was it? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Canada?
Oh, maybe. Is that when that was that 2019? No, it wasn't. It was 2018. Because 2019 was when Seb won and then got a penalty and then switched the sides.
It was 2018, I think.
I think you're right.
Wow. Could have been Canada.
But now Seb and Lewis are like the best of friends. They're besties. Okay.
But Seb was not cool in that moment to do that. And Lewis didn't even brake check him. He just slowed down. Okay.
I don't know. We weren't there. We don't know.
I was there.
You were there. You were omniscient.
I was there.
You were in the safety car watching from the back seat.
That's miraculous.
No, I love Suez. What a great friendship name they have. Or, you know,
Suez.
Whatever you fantasize. Suez. Not Suez. Not Sluis.
Suez. I like Sluis better, personally.
Suez. Anyway.
Or
what else happened this race?
Lebastian.
Plebastian?
No, Lebastian.
Oh, Lebastian. That sounds like a real French name. Lebastion.
I wonder if that has actual real meaning and we just said something terrible.
I think bastion is a word in French, and le would mean the bastion. Yeah. Well, we say bastion, that's like a French adapted word into English, right?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. I'll look it up. Talk about something else that happened in this race.
What else happened in this race? I'm getting slap happy now about all this stuff.
Your COVID is really driving this conversation.
It really is.
Bastion.
Anyways. Well, I think rough race for Ferrari in general, because my man Charlie doing so good to come home P2 in this race, which would have been great. I mean, not that he's in any sort of danger, but would have been great if he was able to continue doing that point scoring incredible top two streak of his. It's crazy. Been great. But he got a little overambitious. And you know what? I lied. He would have been P3, not P2. Excuse me. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Sergio was P2.
He was trying to catch Sergio. In my mind, he was trying to get away from Sergio, but no. He was trying to catch Sergio. He was getting a little overly into it. Took a curb real badly and lost it. I thought that he was going to DNF, and I was like, freaking Italy.
Yeah.
Hate Ferrari.
Well, I hope Monza's better for them, because Imola's a write-off for sure.
Yeah.
I have multiple definitions for bastion, if you're interested.
Shoot.
So the one that we use it in English is it can be military, a naval bastion, right? Which is a defended area of war. So that's the thing where my brain went when I heard bastion. There's also the main British military base in Afghanistan is called Camp Bastion. So I think that's also where my brain went. But also a bastion is a fortification projecting outward from the main structure of a building. So anything that's comes out from the main structure of a building really is a bastion.
There you go.
So there you go.
Well, word of the day. If you didn't do Wordle, bastion.
Wordle was a weird one today.
Let's move on, shall we?
Anyway. We've had some weird Wordles recently this week. But anyway.
We have.
Yeah, Charles, what a mess. I remember gasping when it happened. I think I was scrolling Twitter at that point because the action had died down in the race. Even though DRS had turned on, it was the action died off when that happened. So I was scrolling Twitter looking for F1 memes to entertain myself. And then Charles was just out of nowhere. Took the curb. Too much curb. I think you said that when I was looking for the bastion. Took too much curb because he was getting greedy to get P2 when he should have been happy with P3. He said himself that he should have been happy with P3, but...
I mean, you should still push, but you shouldn't overpush, and he overpushed.
Because he was close to Sergio, and then... But he...
He just got excited.
Yeah.
I get it. I want to keep that up.
I get it. But,
a podium would have been better than... Not.
Where was he? P9? P6. He dropped to P9 and then...
Yeah. He made a pretty decent comeback for the remaining laps that they had, but...
Yeah, which still, wasn't many. Was like, yeah.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
It's but okay Lando, to be third.
Gave your guy your podium sitter of choice this weekend, P3, which is Lando Norris.
It did. So in that case, I was happy, but I forgot that I had put him there. So in, I was disappointed for Charles.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
I do want to talk, though, quickly about...
Very quickly.
The decision to not have DRS for too many laps.
Yeah. I thought...
Sorry.
No, you go.
I thought that there was going to be more rain because... Yes. I personally find Sebastian and his engineer to be quite reliable. So when Seb's engineer said there's going to be more rain in 20 minutes, I 100% believed him. And then when people started pitting for slick tires, I was like, LOL, you guys are going to be wrong. And then Seb pitted and I was like, oh, okay.
I guess
the information changed.
I kind of lost my trust for that when he went onto slicks in, where was it, in 2021, there was a race where it was like absolutely puddles and he went onto slicks and completely lost it, and then he like Tokyo drifted into the pit lane. It may have been Russia.
I feel like that was the moment.
I think it was Russia, and he like put on slicks and I was like, what are you doing? Nobody else put on slicks, but
he immediately went back into pit.
Yeah, right? Immediately, and he like nearly crashed when he went into the pit lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So vibes. I kind of lost a little bit of my trust in his judgment there. But, you know, he can be good with tires. I mean, we bring this up a lot. Silverstone, when he did like 40 laps on soft tires, which was used soft tires, which was insane. We'll probably have to end up seeing that at some point. Again.
Maybe I don't trust him and I trust Seb. Now I'm having a crisis. Because no good engineer would have left him on those tires, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they would, I don't know.
I still have grievances with Ferrari for what they did to Seb. I am happy for them that they've made this miraculous like recovery to lead the championship, but
they're in a better place.
I'm bitter, a little bit. I will admit it. I hold grievances.
I know, it's okay.
I keep thinking, like, what if Seb had stayed on through 2020 and he got this car this season? Could this have been his fifth championship? But it was never meant to be, so.
No.
Anyway. Right, anyways. So post-race, I don't know if you got this on your F1 TV coverage, because I know... Oh, well, you switched back to the international coverage at the end. Did you get the cool-down room stuff before the podium?
I fell asleep.
Okay.
Full disclosure.
Well,
I have COVID, okay?
It's fine. Anyway, I'll explain to you what I witnessed.
Go for it.
So... We used to get, a few years ago, they stopped it around COVID times, but footage of the drivers in the cooldown room before the podium talking to each other, and we got to hear some good gossip, and we got some good footage. You know, there are a lot of memes that came out of that, like Nico and Lewis throwing the hats at each other, and like multi-21 Seb from Mark Webber, that iconic moment, like all of that sort of stuff. And so we got the return of that, but this week they added like a TV playing the highlights and them sitting next to the TV playing the highlights. Usually they just have highlights playing on the background in the cooldown room, but they set it up so it was almost like we were waiting for them to comment on the highlights, and they ignored a lot of them. But there was one point they were watching Charles's spin at the end and they were like, ooh, it was kind of funny, but... It was nice to see the return of the cooldown room. So
I do like the cooldown room.
I enjoyed that.
It's funny.
I enjoyed that.
Had I known, I probably would have stayed awake.
Yeah. But the podium was nice. Lando did his champagne trick, which we love to see. Lando on the podium was great. Sergio absolutely drowned the camera, and I'm thinking that camera's probably like $100,000 at least. I mean, with all the accessories on it for like a live broadcast too, like I can't imagine if he destroyed that camera how much money that would cost. But they keep like a rain jacket on the camera for the podium, which is funny.
They do. They have to.
But that was nice. So Lando has finished on the podium in the last three races we've had in Italy. So maybe maybe Monza's going to be an additional podium for him.
This is what I said. Okay.
Is it?
And that's why I put Lando on the podium.
Is it?
Because I said McLaren and Italy shake hands and they like each other.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I think I remember when you said you put Lando on the podium, and I went, is it because he was on the podium last year? And you went, was he? So I was like, did you put him on the podium for that? But
no, I meant I forgot that I put him on my podium for this race.
Oh, okay.
Until it happened, and then I remembered.
No. When we were recording the predictions.
Oh.
I said that to you, and you went, was he on the podium last year? And I went, yeah. And you went, okay.
Then my bad. Maybe that wasn't my
thinking. No, I think he did say it was because McLaren are good in Italy. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Also, another cool statistic. George is the only driver to finish in the top five in every race so far this season, which I did not expect that to be a statistic.
Did not expect that to be George
either.
There's
a reason why he's so high up in the championship standings.
Hey, and you know what? Red Bull finished a race, so...
Both cars.
All of them.
Yeah, all four of them finished the race.
I did.
Congratulations.
That's exciting.
It is their first 1-2 finish since Malaysia 2016, which had Daniel Ricciardo.
Which surprised me, honestly. I did not think it was that long.
Max won that race, I think. And Daniel was second. Because that was the year where it was sort of flipping around for them.
Yeah, but it was still wild. I was like, "That I can't believe it's been that long."
Yeah. Well, Mercedes have always disallowed the 1-2, and then obviously last season we know that because they were so competitive, McLaren were the only team to have a 1-2, which is crazy. That we already have two teams with a 1-2 finish this year, and we only had one last year. And the team last year wasn't competitive for the championship, so that was interesting. Exactly. This is the first time Red Bull has scored with both cars in Imola. They've only ever previously scored with one car in Imola, so they're breaking curses.
Fun fact.
And this is the first time Lewis has been lapped by Max since 2017 in Mexico.
Ouch. Ew.
It's been 5 years.
I will also say that I feel like Italy... This is actually super incorrect fact, but I'm gonna say it anyways. I feel like Italy historically has been unkind to world champions.
Sure.
Or those leading the championship, which seems pretty true.
I can see that being
also false because Max won last year.
But I know what you mean. Monza specifically has been an odd place to be for championship leaders and Ferrari. Yeah. Every year.
Yeah.
Apart from 2019 when Charles won that.
But that was legal, so.
It still counts.
I love how illegal things count in this sport.
Yeah. The championship last year.
Like that. Ooh. 100% illegal, but it's fine.
I just want to end on this note because we're going very long, but.
And crazy.
We're loopy today. George was interviewed after the race, which congratulations, George, for your P4. But he talked about the this is the most extreme he's ever felt in a Formula One car because of the power poisoning, and that he has chest pains from the severity of the bouncing of the car, and that it's causing pain with his ribs and his back and his head, and he's breathing is hard. So that needs to be fixed, in spite of improving car performance, they need to fix that for the health and safety concerns of their drivers.
Yeah, that feels like a health violation.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, what? Also, Ferrari have very extreme porpoising on the straights.
How do you say porpoising?
Porpoise.
Porpoise?
What do you say? Purposing? What do you say?
Porpoising.
Porpoise?
Like a porpoise. Like a dolphin.
Like a porpoise.
Oh, Jesus.
We had this conversation last week too, huh?
Did we?
A different word.
Oh, a different word.
I cut it out. It was too much.
Porpoising.
I can say porpoising.
That's better.
Porpoising. It's not better. It's just different. Don't get all supreme on me.
kidding.
Whatever. You could be wrong. I could be wrong. But we know what we're saying. So whatever. Mm. I have an accent. You have an accent.
Hey, it just makes me laugh. So it's good.
I mean, you say weird stuff too. I can't wait for the Las Vegas Grand Prix when you're saying Vegas all the
Vegas?
Time. Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
How do you say it?
Vegas.
Vegas?
Vegas.
All right, move on.
That's going to be
move
a fun on. One. I mean, that's all I wanted to really say, just that I'm sure Ferrari's going to have to deal with that as well, because, or maybe they won't, because their car is just so fast that they'll just say, deal with the porpoising, whatever, to Charles and Carlos, because that looks horrible whenever you see on boards of them on the straights and they're like, like, I imagine that's what their brain sound is making.
It reminds me, you know, like when you're on the highway, whatever you call it,
the motorway. There you go. I know what you mean.
And I don't remember what they're called, but like, you know, on the side when they're like the side strips.
Yes.
That if you're sleeping, it wakes you up.
Yeah. Bumper strips.
That's bumper strips.
Yeah.
That's a that
rumble
that
strips. What, we call them rumble strips. Do you call them that?
Rumble strips. I think yeah. so. That's what I imagine that it's like, is being on a rumble strip and yeah, just yeah. being like,
ooh. Or on like a, or are you ever driven on a gravel road?
Yeah, of course.
Or like
from
a,
Michigan.
I'm sorry. Or like a cobbled street. You ever driven on a cobbled street?
Yeah. Probably not the same type of that you would have in the UK, because yeah. our cobbles aren't quite as old. Yours
are. Yeah. Or just, or just you guys, a road with terrible potholes in it. Like,
there you we're go. From Michigan and Chicago. Like,
there you go.
100%.
Yeah. So, and I can't imagine it's easy to see very well when your head's shaking a lot. I mean, your eyes obviously have a natural like balance in them, but still you'd be like,
no, for sure,
you know. I'm demonstrating it for audio listeners, but yeah, not fun. Yeah. Not fun.
No not at all.
But anyway,
actually, like, very damaging, I'd imagine.
Speaking of damaging, do you want to talk about our predictions for Miami?
How was that a transition?
Because I think they're going to damage my predictions or my championship hopes, because I had to guess some. Obviously, because Miami's a new circuit.
Yeah.
But yeah,
all right,
let's do that. Do it. In Sector 3, we make our predictions for the Miami Grand Prix.
So let's talk about our predictions for Miami. This one was a little bit tricky for me.
And me.
Because I've never been to Miami before.
I don't think a lot of people that watch F1 will have been to Miami, so we're okay. You've been to Florida, though.
But I don't think it's helpful.
You've been near Miami. Well, have you been here at the same year
not
before?
Really.
Well,
Florida is very big.
Florida's like a country. Well, most of America's yeah. states are like their own country. But have you been here at like this time of year before?
In April. I don't think so. I think the latest I've been is March.
So I was just trying to think of like what the weather could be like.
Very warm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because there's like there's like hurricane season and stuff, right?
It's not hurricane season.
I doubt F1 would hold a Grand Prix during hurricane season, so.
You never know.
You never know. If Bernie was still in charge, they probably would. He loves the thrill.
He does. I don't know if there have been any updates, though, on the lawsuit. I have not heard anything.
Yeah, I was like, what lawsuit? Because we were talking before we were recording today about the Johnny Depp lawsuit that's going on. So I was like, updates on the lawsuit? What are you talking about? But you mean the noise complaint. They want to cancel, the neighbors of the circuit want to cancel the Grand Prix because of noise pollution. I think that would probably just be shoved under the rug if we haven't heard more noise about it.
Like, that's what I'm thinking.
That's probably the case, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Miami, actually, I can't really speak for Miami. Florida, maybe a little bit of a storm, but then the day is usually sunny and you can go to the beach.
Mm. I mean, it's a party city Miami is a party city for a reason. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall
I
we?
Yeah. Sorry.
You would.
Anyways.
You would what?
I would suggest that it would be sunny and dry. But
I would imagine so.
If you want to put rain, it is a very humid climate.
I was going to say, the other thing is that it's very humid in Florida. So I don't know how that affects things, because Bahrain is a very different type of heat to Florida, because Bahrain's a very
also
dry
Texas
heat.
As well.
Austin, right, yeah.
This is going to be more like
Singapore.
Humidity-wise, I would say it's closer to Singapore.
Singapore. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And drivers absolutely suffer the most in Singapore. we see them in garbage cans filled with ice before
it'll
the race.
Be tough heat, I think. In Miami.
We'll see a lot of ice vests, I imagine, as well. So,
yeah.
Do you want to start with your podium for our predictions? That would be.
I have Max P1.
You do.
I do. I have Charles P2. And Carlos P3, because I never stopped dreaming.
Okay, so Max, Charles, then Carlos. Okay. Interesting, because I haven't stopped dreaming either, because I put Carlos P1.
I wondered if you would.
I'm going to put it until it happens. I feel like that's my new... What was my thing last year?
And that's why you're losing in the championship.
What was my thing last year that I had? That who was going to DNF?
Nostradamus?
I had somebody that was going to DNF every race, and then I can't remember who it was.
Gio, because he hadn't DNF'd yet. Which was just cold.
Carlos winning is my new Gio DNFing.
Eventually worked. Took a while, but it did eventually work.
So I have Carlos, and then I have Max. And then I have Fernando Alonso.
Excuse me? What?
Well, I was looking at Miami, and Fernando did really well this weekend, and there were a lot of fast corners in Imola. And Miami seems to be mostly fast corners with a small percentage of slow corners, including a chicane, towards the end of the lap.
Yeah.
So I feel like it could be an Alonso track, and he's been showing us that he has the goods this season, and he's been qualifying pretty high, and he's been finishing races rather well without bad luck that he's had.
Yeah.
Which were all not his fault, right? Like the mechanical failure in qualifying that ruined some of his pace, and in, was it Australia? Or Saudi, one of them. Previous race.
Yeah.
And then this weekend when he got a whole... punched into the side of his car, so I don't know why, but I picked Fernando because I was like, we saw Lando on the podium in Imola. Alpine has been relatively competitive with McLaren so far, so if we're going to see another team up there, I think it'll be an Alpine, and then Alonso seems to be performing really well this season, so that's my justification for that. Pole position, I put Carlos.
Okay.
Because, and I said that because he hasn't had one in his career already, which is wild to me that he hasn't.
Yeah.
He's been so close so many times, and occasionally there's been red flags that have, you know, stopped that from happening, including one from his own teammate in Monaco last year. Charles. Amazing, as always. So I put Carlos, because I'm hoping he gets like a grand chelem, you know? Pole, victory, leads every lap. Potentially. And it's a street circuit, and I think Carlos is generally pretty good at street circuits.
Yeah.
So.
I'd agree. Okay. Fastest lap, I put Charles.
Okay.
Pole, I put Max.
Okay. My fastest lap, I put Sergio. Because I wanted to give him something. And he's a pretty speedy guy. He's very speedy. He's a fast guy, which is good because his profession is racing, driving. So that helps.
Excellent.
That helps.
Excellent.
Great analysis. I'm so good at this. Okay. DNFs, which is where we're going to get spicy, I think. At least in my neck of the woods for predictions. So... do you want to go first, or we go one by one? Like, I give one, you give one.
You give one first.
Okay. Kevin Magnussen. Just because of a gut feeling. I don't know why. Kevin has been really good so far. So I feel like there's maybe some bad karma coming his way. And
why would there be karma? What did he do?
He's just had so much good luck. that it feels like maybe there's something coming to balance that out. Like how Charles this weekend, right? It was so good.
Yes, the universe.
The universe, you know, returns to the mean, yeah. You know. So potentially, yeah. Kevin as one.
You're too happy, Kevin.
You're too good. Your comeback's been too great. You're making Mick look terrible. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, Mick is looking really good on his own.
Mick did a really good job this weekend. We didn't talk about him in...
Oh, God, we didn't.
In Sector 2.
There was so much to talk about.
We didn't even say that it was P10 in the sprint race.
Okay, well, we said it now.
That's so disappointing, because imagine there was points for P10 in the sprint race.
I know.
Top 10 finish, no points. But yeah, in the race, very good for him. Anyway, DNS, please?
My first DNF is Latifi. New track. He gonna crash all. Like that he says did. All.
Street circuit.
I just feel like he's gonna have Saudi vibes. And crash. Because he doesn't know where the wall is. Like, I don't know.
Oh, dear. I mean, this could be like the end all be all for him, you know, this season. If he keeps crashing, the amount he has.
Yeah.
Oscar Piastri incoming.
Yeah.
Yee. This will be the first season Latifi's had a home race, right? We haven't been to Canada in a while since COVID. I know. So
hi, goodbye.
Hi, goodbye. Exactly. Aw. Poor guy. Yeah. I'm so excited to go to Canada this year. I miss Canada.
Me too.
It's a great circuit.
Anyway, circuit.
My other DNF is Charles.
How dare you? Okay. I get it. No, I understand.
I was thinking
you're really about karma this race, aren't
you? Yeah. I mean, he's been so good. And I think there's going to be some sort of like, you know how the championship went last season where it was like Max leading, Lewis leading, Max leading, Lewis leading. I want it to be something similar. And I can feel Red Bull's on an upswing right now. So, but I'm doing damage control with Carlos B1. So, potentially Red Bull are going to build up to equalizing Ferrari's points so far. And I think that would come in the form of a Ferrari DNF. We already saw Carlos this week. So it's already happening. But because Red Bull have already had like four cars DNF, including Alpha. I'm including Alphas. Maybe Ferrari need an equalizer. But
my question is, how are these cars going to do in the moisture and the humidity? And I don't know.
Well, tire wear is going to be completely different, right? For humid conditions as well.
For sure. But led me to worry about Red Bull.
Yes.
So I didn't do Max or Perez. I did Pierre. I know. I just had a gut feeling. Like, I was starting to write out a P and I was like, Perez. And then I was like, that doesn't feel right. So I put Pierre and that felt right. Sorry.
I did think about Pierre. But I was thinking this week he had such bad luck that maybe he needs something. And he hasn't gone super well so far this season. And I miss his, like, golden boy comeback that
redemption art
so I need that. I need that to come back because I'm worried right if that goes away that he's gonna get forgotten about when silly season comes around, you know.
He's not gonna go anywhere. I'm not worried.
He better not. I mean, Yuri Vips and Liam Lawson are killing it in Formula 2 right now. So
I mean, Red Bull gonna
Red
whatever
Bull.
They want,
you're right,
and Red we Bull. Don't know what they want, so it's okay.
We never know what they want. I don't think Christian Horner knows what he wants. He's apart from Max Verstappen. Okay.
Red Bull gonna Red Bull.
Red Bull gonna Red Bull. Is that the name of this episode? Red Bull gonna Red Bull. Okay, safety cars, because it's a street circuit and it's new, I put two.
I did two.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah. I did two. I worry. Yeah, no, I'm gonna stick with two. Yeah.
Okay. And then weather. I've said dry, because Florida. But it does rain in Florida, but I don't think it's rainy season.
I think it could go either way, but I think it might rain like in the morning, but for the race, I think it'll be dry.
I think rainy season's like the summer, though, right? In Florida? Isn't it?
I actually don't know when.
I think it might be. I know it's at least right when now. I lived in a tropical climate, in Hong Kong, which is a completely different part of the world, but it's still a similar climate to Florida. Humid, extremely humid and extremely hot a lot. Rainy season was always in the summer. So I imagine it's probably similar in Florida. I could be totally wrong though. But it's not summer yet. So I'm imagining it's going to be... Well, everybody goes there on spring break in America. Or not everybody. A lot of people go to like Miami. And that one beach in Florida that I can't think of right now. That's a very famous beach.
Yeah, it is summer. Late May through early July.
There you go. So yeah,
that's
dry.
That's like hurricane season. There about.
Hurricane. There you go. Yeah, it was typhoon season in Hong Kong. So there you go. Similar vibes. So dry weather, I've gone for. I assume you probably have done the same thing.
I have, yeah.
Okay. See, energetically aligned, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
As always. All right, right, right. All right. This is where it gets funky sometimes. Random predictions. Gets funky. Sometimes it's predictable, but random predictions, they could go either way. So let me know what you're thinking.
I didn't do anything too crazy. Mm-hmm. I put Perez in the top five because I did want to give him something as well.
Look, see, we're both thinking along the same lines.
Yes. And then I put Yuki top eight.
Okay.
I just have a feeling that Yuki's going to do he's well an here. Upswing. I don't know why.
This is his, like, glory arc starting.
Miami.
Miami, baby. Yuki in Miami, he's going to pull out the most stylish outfit I can imagine.
Him and Louis and Guan Yu, like...
They're all going to be, like, wearing slides or something. Like matching
slides. I hope not.
Bucket hats.
I hope bucket hats. No slides.
Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But I think all three of them, rather, will be looking pretty stylish no matter where they go.
I wonder what's like the most like ridiculous Miami activity. One of the drivers is going to do.
Smoking cigars. I don't know. Jet ski riding. I don't know.
I feel like that's not really ridiculous though. I feel like a lot of drivers already do that.
Yeah, they do it in Monaco.
Yeah.
Let me think. Ridiculous activities in Miami. Binge drinking. I don't know. Getting sunstroke on the beach. What's there to do in Miami? Margaritas every night? I don't know. That sounds good.
Good, really good Cuban food.
Cuban food? See, I said cigars because my head was thinking Cuba.
Mm.
Mm. But they're illegal in America, right? Cuban cigars?
I have no idea.
I think they still are. Because of the sanctions on Cuba, they don't import things like Cuban cigars.
I'm not a big smoker.
I mean, me either.
Not a big cigar smoker here.
Cigars are odd. But anyway, my predictions to round us off are... I put Lando top five. Because I'm thinking McLaren so far have done well on fast corner circuits. Miami, like mm-hmm. I said, seems fast cornered, apart from a couple. And there was a chicane in Imola, and Lando still managed to finish P3. And there's a chicane in Miami, so I figure maybe my brain is just trying to make as many connections as it can with the lack of knowledge I have of the circuit.
It's hard.
And then I had to support my boy, Seb. And I put him in the points because he did a really good job this weekend in Imola, gave himself points. And I'm trying, again, guessing off of what the circuit could be like. He seemed to have a good improvement in Aston this weekend. So, and maybe now that he's scored points with the car, he'll finally name it because he hasn't named his car yet. Because really? He said, I'm not naming this car because it's so bad. Only when it performs will I name the car. And I was like, fair enough. So
fair enough.
And he's naming it like a Bond girl name, right? Because that's what he said he was going to name all his Aston Martins were Bond girl names. So can't wait to hear that. I love that he names this car every year, though. It's very cute. I like it.
It is very sad.
I like
very
it.
Sad thing
very
to
sad
do.
Thing to do. He really fits like the 007 like dynamic. I think he's very like cheeky in the same way that James Bond is cheeky sometimes. You know, cocky occasionally.
I guess.
Young Seb.
Being James Bond. I feel like not at all.
What, did you see that video of him doing the car stunts?
No.
With Martin Brundle in Lance.
No.
Oh my god, he did. They took out an Aston Martin DB9, which is James Bond's signature car. And the James Bond stunt driver taught them how to do some of the stunts in the car. And Seb was an expert, and he was doing donuts with one hand on the wheel, and he was sticking his tongue out. It was very like, I know exactly how to do this. I do this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that for him. Good for him.
That's good. Yeah. So I just get more like,
you get like
in Switzerland with his chickens. So.
He's a
it's
very
kind of like, he lives dad two lives.
He's very Hannah Montana, you know, where he's got this glamorous F1 lifestyle, and then he has no phone and has chickens in the mountains in Switzerland.
Exactly.
So, and don't we all want a double life like that? You need the best of both worlds sometimes.
It's true.
The fast life and the slow life. I'm so on it today. both of us today are just not capable.
I'm COVID. What's your excuse?
COVID by proxy, you know. I'm like code switching to your thought level today.
Lower brain function today.
Okay, so I think relatively okay predictions for Miami. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
I mean, I love seeing new circuits, also street circuits, always. And it's a night race for me because it starts at like 8 p.m. here for once. So it's the usual time I'm watching the races, you'll be watching the races. Or race, singular. Unless you're watching... Is F2 in Miami? In F3? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think they're mostly in Europe and Asia. I don't know, though. I could be totally wrong.
They usually
wrong.
Come to Texas, though.
Yes, they do. So they'll probably be in Austin. But yeah, I'm excited for Miami. And you are too. And
I really wish that I could go.
The tickets are mega expensive, though.
They're like, the most expensive F1 race ticket now, right?
I think Vegas might beat it, but Miami is more expensive than Monaco, which is crazy.
Which is ridiculous.
Wild.
Monaco is way cooler than
I mean,
they haven't even raced at Miami yet. Like,
yeah. It's all corporate stuff anyway. Like, Ted was roasting.
America.
Ted was roasting it. He was like, there's only two grandstands, and the rest of it is all, like, clubhouses for various corporate sponsors or teams that have paid to have their own grandstand as well. So I imagine there'll be so many celebrities because it's more, like, exclusive club than grandstand.
I don't care about the celebrities.
But F1 do. That's the thing, though, right?
F1 do.
It's for promotion. They're trying to expand. They're trying to grow. To bring famous people into it will be, for sure, the best thing to do to expand an audience. So,
the only celebrity I ever wanted in a garage is Mr. Bean.
Rowan Atkinson. Yeah.
When he was there a while ago.
I think he's a McLaren fan, I'm pretty sure. So, but he likes he likes an Aston Martin car.
That's the only time I really enjoyed having a celebrity in the
garage.
You
know what I liked having? Shaq on the podium.
That's different because he was on the podium.
That was so funny. That was amazing. I want to see like somebody else like Shaq on the... I think Tom Brady's going to present the trophies in Miami.
Yeah, actually, that would make a lot of sense.
Buccaneers,
I wouldn't be mad at that. Yeah.
Somebody like Tom Brady or somebody from Miami Heat or... Is there any fame? I hope Ron DeSantis is not anywhere near this Grand Prix weekend by any means. No offense to anybody that likes him, but I'm not a fan. I imagine another thing too would be Seb's going to be wearing his rainbow shoes probably. Lewis and Seb are definitely going to be supporting for the LGBT community in Florida, which I'd love. I'm expecting that. I'm sure they've already planned their whole outfits. Seb's going to show up in a cape of the LGBT flag. Or something.
I'd be so happy.
I would love that.
Cute.
So that would be nice to see for sure. Mick as well. He also joins in that sort of activity, which is nice to see. So yeah, expect some controversy online from things like that happening. I'm just imagining Lewis in every interview is going to say gay because of the don't say gay bill. He's just going to be like, yeah, and gay and blah, 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 and gay. Which would be hilarious. But yeah. So hopefully, I mean, we talk about F1 going to places like Saudi Arabia and, you know, things like that and the controversies behind it. And it's like, you've got to talk about them elsewhere as well, right? I mean,
can you imagine if Florida was its own country? Just like,
it'd be hell.
How it would be looked at?
It would be like,
all the human rights issues in Florida, the country of Florida. You'd be like, the human rights issues.
The human rights issues, the drug abuse issues.
I don't know if we should race there.
Yeah, right? Like, that's what I'm saying is, like, we criticize everywhere else, but, like, a lot of the Western countries are, like, the perpetrators of things, you know, as well. So I want to be equally as critical on them.
I want to criticize everyone.
I mean, Vegas isn't exactly the cleanest place in the world either, is it? But, you know, whatever. We could talk about that for ages. I mean, Florida has a lot of issues. But a lot of other circuits, countries do as well. So
yeah, we get it. You don't have to be.
I'm just trying to be fair.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
We understand.
Thank you. Sorry, America. Apologies.
I'm not patting myself on the back. So
all right. So we are on social media. This is the end of the episode. I'm doing the spiel now. We're on social media at Speedtrap Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And we're thinking about starting to post on YouTube. So keep an eye out for that on our other socials. We will link to that if we end up doing that, which I think we might be posting. And then we also have an email address, speedtrappod@gmail.com. If you have a longer form inquest, inquiry, rant, anything that doesn't fit in a DM or a comment that you want to reach out to us with.
Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to donate, you can head to anchor.fm/speed-trap-pod and hit the donate button. And I think that is all.
Yes, we have talked excessively today.
Yeah, I'm out of words now, but
we are.
Yeah, thanks for listening as usual. This was a lot of fun. I hope you made it to the end.
And potentially thanks for watching if we end up posting this on YouTube.
True.
It's been fun, guys. Talk to you guys next week with a non-race based episode because it's not a race week. So we'll come up with something fun instead, hopefully. We will, I promise. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Speed Trap Podcast.
As always, we appreciate your support.
To stay involved in the conversation, reach out to us on social media at SpeedTrapPod.
SpeedTrap's official music was created and produced by Boxed Okami. You can find more of his work on Instagram at Boxed Okami.
See you next week.